So normally, you know, we're in the book of Hebrews, and we've been studying through Hebrews, and we've only got just a couple of more messages, but we're going to pause everything right here for Palm Sunday. Is that okay? So this morning, we're going to be a Matthew and Luke. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 7 right now, and keep your finger there because we're going to cruise around and 8 through, yeah. So let's see, Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 7, and let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for Palm Sunday and Easter. Thank you for this holy week. And Father, I ask now that you'll continue to bless our time together, that you'll bless this word and let it go forth and we're not turned void, that it would accomplish what it meant to do this morning, and this morning's messages, or maybe even on the internet as you travel around and folks listen. And Lord, we love you. We just lift up the name of Jesus this morning. And Father, I ask you to help me teach and preach this in the way that you put on my heart, as always. I trust you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Matthew chapter 21, 1 through 7, and I'll read. It says, I got the NIV version this morning. It's a little different, but that's okay. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. In quotes, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So more than 2,000 years ago, God's plan of redemption altered the world forever. Okay, on that first Easter, the power of sin and death was broken by the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. Amen. So death was defeated and life was brought into the world. Spiritual life, eternal life, God's life triumphed that day. Now God transforms our lives and transformed this world by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Today, as I said earlier, is Palm Sunday. It's a time to celebrate and be thankful and grateful for what Jesus has done for us. How many could definitely hear that in Tammy's heart this morning? She's very grateful and very thankful. It moved her emotions, and I think that's awesome. But today we want to pause and just celebrate Jesus. The events in Palm Sunday was mentioned in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So, what does this tell us? It tells us this is a very important happening. This happened, was very important, and we need to take it serious. It marked what we think of as the beginning of Jesus' journey to the cross. And we'll talk more about that next Sunday at Easter time. So as we look at these events that happened on that day in Jerusalem, we've got three simple little symbols to help us remember this lesson. So if you have your bulletin, you have your sermon notes in your bulletin. If you don't have a bulletin with the sermon notes, Glenn can help you out with that. If you got pen and paper. So let's look at these three symbols. Now these three symbols kind of help us remember the lessons of Palm Sunday. Okay, the first one is the donkey. The second one is the palm branch. And the third one is the rocks. So this morning we're going to take a look at the donkey, the palm branch, and the rocks. Now these are all pretty common items, but they remind us of the uncommon journey of Jesus. They represent the way that he went above and beyond. Everybody say above and beyond. Jesus went above and beyond to accomplish the Father's will. And we'll take note here. Now let's talk about the first one, the donkey. Every time I think about that, when I was studying and preparing this week, all I could think about was the donkey on Shrek. So you have to excuse me because that's all I could think about. Remember that? Anybody remember that old crazy movie? Right. You know, you hadn't seen a donkey. You can see the horse fly and the super fly, but you've never seen a donkey fly. I promised Lynn I wouldn't tell that story, but I did. So here we go, right? But anyway, Jesus rode in on this donkey. Now, when we think about this triumphal entry of Jesus coming into the holy city, you know, it's fair to ask the question, why a donkey? I mean, why a donkey? It's probably not something that you and I would have chosen, right? Maybe Jesus rode in on a donkey because it was just a practical matter. Maybe he was just tired of walking. Maybe there was only a donkey left that was available at the local rent-a-beast. I don't know. Maybe all the horses and all the camels were taken up, and the donkey was the only thing left. Well, I don't think so. According to Scripture, and we'll take a just short look at this. The meaning of Jesus riding in on the donkey went above and beyond their practical understanding. So this is what we're going to talk about this morning, is just Jesus going above and beyond. Even the little details about this lowly animal was a part of God's bigger plan. It goes back to Zechariah 9:9. Remember, you've heard the stories about that. It was a prophecy given that the Messiah would what? Come riding on a young donkey. So Jesus was very specific about this donkey. Now what might seem like just a plan B for a practical situation, I just need to get a donkey, that was not true. This was a fulfillment of thousands of years of a promise. A prophecy that was fulfilled, that if you study the life of Jesus, you'll know there was many, many prophecies that were fulfilled. And this was just one of them. Now, honestly, if you really look at a little small donkey, they're cute. Aren't they? At least that's what Lynn says. He's so cute. It's a cute little donkey. That may be true. Now, can imagine Jesus riding in on a little cute donkey. Okay? So, because see, back in the Jesus' days, the Roman soldiers, we're talking about the warriors, the kings, the Roman soldier officers, they all rode powerful, majestic horses. And some rode camels. Okay? So this is symbolic for them. The king and a conqueror and a warrior, they would ride on a big white stallion, a big, you know, black stallion, these big powerful horses. So a donkey? Not so much. We don't see that as powerful, do we? We see it as an old stubborn old donkey, slowly old donkey. Now we all know the stories, if we've heard sermons over the years, you know, about Palm Sunday and how Jesus came in with a donkey and Jesus was humble. And yes, he was. He came in humility, riding on the donkey. But there's an ironic twist to this. Okay? The story is that he was riding on a donkey. Jesus was also proclaiming that he was the Messiah. He was king. And the reasons for that is the dedicated Jews gathering in Jerusalem at this time when they were celebrating the Passover. These dedicated guys that were studying the Word, they were studying the Scriptures. They knew. They knew about this Old Testament prophecy. They knew. They knew who this was riding in on this donkey. This was the Messiah, the King. So this simple act that Jesus chose to humble himself and ride on this donkey was also, what it was doing, it was connecting the past of the fulfillment of the prophecy, and it was also connected with the future of declaring that he was king. And not only was he king, he was King of Kings, right? And Lord of Lords, but not an earthly king as some had imagined, but as the true king who would reign forever in God's story. God's story of love and forgiveness and grace and redemption. This is the king. This is the king that we serve. So, here's the Messiah riding in a donkey. It's just not what they expected. So, let's go to the second symbol, the palm branch. Now, imagine that you've loaded your family in the car. The kids cheer loudly. They're excited because you're headed toward the ice cream shop. And they can almost taste the sweet goodness of the ice cream. And they're excited. But, surprise, you drive right past the ice cream shop. You go right on to the airport. You board the plane to Hawaii. Now, the kids should be thrilled, right? They're on the trip of a lifetime. But instead, they're disappointed. They're let down. They're crushed. They were so looking forward to that ice cream. It just wasn't what they expected. It didn't fit their idea of what should happen. Everybody see where we're going? Now, I know most of us can't have an unexpected trip to Hawaii in our back pocket, but it tells the story. It gives the story of what Jesus and his disciples and their followers, what happened to them on Palm Sunday. See, on Palm Sunday, they were cheering, they were excited, they thought their king had arrived. So they had been oppressed. They could just taste the sweet victory as Jesus rode into town. It was right there. So let's turn to Matthew real quick. Matthew still, right? 21. Let's look at verses 8 through 11. Verses 8 through 11 reads this. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of God! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowd answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. You see, the crowd waved palm branches, which were a traditional symbol of victory. That was a traditional symbol that they had back in the day that was symbolic of victory. This is why we celebrate Palm Sunday. That's why it's called Palm Sunday. The people spread their cloaks on the ground, on the old dirt roads out there. Their king was coming through. They could almost taste the sweet goodness of freedom. Finally, their Messiah was here. Their rescuer had come. Finally, he was going to kick some Roman tail and release them from their oppression. And he was going to set up this perfect kingdom and rule and be their king. But no, the crowd would soon discover that this king wasn't what they expected. He wasn't here to set up an earthly political kingdom. Instead, he went above and beyond what people imagined. Here it is again. Jesus went above and beyond what they could even imagine, what they had in their mind. You see, he was a spiritual king, not an earthly one. And listen closely. His victory, the ultimate victory over sin and death, would be more than freedom from their current oppression. So much more. Please read into that in regards to your life and your family's life. It would be the victory that restored all creation and made a way for every person to have a right relationship with God. This is what Jesus was doing. This is what he did. See, he would throw off and defeat the oppression of their souls. Now, obviously, there were folks in there who agreed with Jesus and liked Jesus. Those are the ones that were cheering. And then there were those who didn't agree with Jesus and didn't like Jesus. And those were more really the Pharisees and the religious leaders who were threatened by Jesus' popularity. But here it is, guys. None of them really understood the magnitude of what was really going on. They didn't understand really what Jesus was preparing to do. Even his disciples, even the folks who followed him, they didn't know. They didn't get it. John told us in this, John 12:16 says this, "At first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had to be done to him." What about you? What do you expect from Jesus this Easter? Are you prepared? Are you prepared in your heart for his power, his victory in your life? Are you prepared to accept maybe him going above and beyond what your expectations are in your own life? It's a good question, isn't it? Let's look at the third and final symbol. The rocks. Everybody say the rocks. Rocks. Palm Sunday is really a snapshot that represents all of Jesus' life. Think about that. It's a snapshot that really represents all of Jesus' life. His love, his sacrifice, his commitment to follow and be obedient to God's ultimate plan. This whole Holy Week, this is what it's all about. See, when he rode into Jerusalem, he didn't arrive in order to raise more support or gain more approval. This was not a campaign rally where he was trying to make sure that enough people liked him so that he could get elected. No, this wasn't his goal. And he knew what was coming. He knew in the next few days he would suffer greatly and he would die on the cross. He knew that. Only days later, the same crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," the same folks that were laying down their cloak on the dirt road, the same folks that were waving their palm branches, saying, "Victory, victory," these same folks, just a few days later, were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, give us Barabbas." But yet, it did not change Jesus' mind. It did not change his actions. It did not change his purpose. Jesus' purpose was not, listen closely, Jesus' purpose was not dependent on human approval or human praise. Let me say that again. Jesus' purpose was not dependent on human approval or praise. Jesus made that very clear in the Gospel of Luke. And let's turn there. Luke chapter 19. I think Derry's going to have it up on the screen. Luke chapter 19, verse 37, verse 40. Let me read it. It says, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they have seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees, listen closely right here. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus says, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. And I thought about that as I was studying and preparing, and I thought, well, if Jesus was from Georgia, like maybe South Georgia, from Brooks County, when they said, Teacher, rebuke your disciples, Jesus probably would have said, well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you boys something. If these guys don't praise and worship me, these rocks and these trees and this mud and this clay, it's going to cry out. These trees will start crying out. Amen? And they would have. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen painted rocks in the painted desert, and I've seen painted rocks. And I've actually owned a little pet rock one time. But I've never heard stones actually crying out. Now, this may seem impossible, but that was just his point. Right there. The importance of that day wasn't about who sang or who kept quiet. It was about all creation. All creation, which was in desperate need of redemption. So when we started singing that song, I Am Redeemed, about shot up at the ceiling over there. All creation was in desperate need of redemption. All of creation, which was held under the curse of the sin and the curse of death. All of creation will have praised God because its creator was at work here. This was significant work. The creator that created everything was at work here. It was breaking the curse. It was the process of breaking the curse, of conquering death. This was the beginning. This was the beginning of restoration for mankind. It was the beginning when Jesus got on that little donkey and started riding in. It was the beginning of God reconciling mankind to himself. It was the love of God beginning to ride into that city. Jesus' purpose was not to be liked by the majority of people. It was to offer the ultimate sacrifice, his own life, so that everyone who called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is whether the people approved or disapproved, whether they recognized or had no idea what was going on. Jesus' purpose never changed. And all that was above and beyond the earthly understanding of what was going on then. You see, today we have the privilege of hindsight. Don't ever miss that. Don't let that one go over your head on that one. You see, we are able to see what the disciples did not. We know the end of the story. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? We know the end of the story. Can I get a hallelujah for that?
Hallelujah.
We do. This is the most famous scripture in the Bible, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, right, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent his Son, Jesus, to earth in a way we never would have imagined or planned or chose. Jesus came to us in humility. He lived among us in solidarity. He sacrificed everything in obedience. Jesus' life purpose was to bring God's love and God's life, his eternal life, to this world. His love bridged the gap and provided a way for us to cross over into the holy presence of God, and so that we could know him, and we could walk with him, and we could talk with him, and we could spend eternity with him. Ephesians 3:12 says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. If you are here today wondering what this journey of Holy Week means for you, don't miss God's invitation. He loves each one of us, and he invites us into a relationship with him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us so much in spite of our sins. And yet, when we're sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience and your love and following the Father's will. And getting that on old donkey and going through that parade. You knew where it was going. Father, this morning I pray if there's one here that's never met you, doesn't know you in a personal way, Lord, will we sing this song of invitation? I pray they'll come and I'd be glad to talk with them about getting saved and giving their life to Christ. Maybe there's one here that'd like to join our church or maybe even get baptized. That would be awesome. So Lord, we just give this over to you and ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.